I'm just having technical difficulties all over the place. You know, my Wi-Fi went out this morning.
Okay, I thought this was going to be
I'm not done.
I know, but before you continue, I thought you were going to say, my wife went out this morning.
Yeah, my wife went out this morning. Yeah.
Like you'll never guess what my wife did anyway.
I hate my wife. Yeah, no, that's not that kind of podcast, Shelby.
You love that kind of comedy, though. It's your favorite.
You know, you weren't ever supposed to tell anyone that, Shelby. It's supposed to be a secret you took to your grave. So I guess now I have to kill you.
Oh, okay. Anyway, your Wi-Fi went out.
My Wi-Fi went out 20 minutes before a big strategy presentation. And I was like, I think this is the universe telling me that I shouldn't work on this account anymore. It's just like giving me all the signs. So my Wi-Fi has been spotty all day, which is super fun when you work in an environment that wants you to be available at all times. So,
well, that's part of the strategy.
Yep, it is. So if anyone's hiring for someone who doesn't have to do any of that, let me know. Email us later. Give me a job.
And that is Sam, of course. I'm Shelby.
And this is The Rom Complex.
One, two, three, four. Oh, I'll meet you at the meet cute, wearing a meat suit. That's a suit, it's made out of meat, and you, and me, me, and me, and you, meat suit.
Rom Complex. Whoa, we switched it up on you.
Mind blown, man.
Yeah, we're here at the Rom Complex and we're still in Vegas this month.
Yeah, we're so drunk. We got married twice already.
We did get married.
Yeah.
And we're gonna go ahead and do it a third time. Though I guess this movie isn't so much about the, well, you know, okay. Listen, we're talking about the movie Viva Las Vegas from the year
1964.
Oh, thank you.
It's the one thing I remember about looking at the IMDb. I was going to say I only remember the date or the year that it came out because I read that obviously Elvis and Anne Margaret dated. And I was like, was this before or after he married a 14-year-old? It's before.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Wild to go from Anne Margaret to a 14-year-old. So this movie, Viva's Las Vegas.
We're killing it. Let's take a minute and just talk about how much we are fucking nailing it right now.
We're so good at podcasting. I, of course, was speaking Spanish. I was like, do Vivas in Las Vegas? I was simply asking.
Native Spanish speaker, Shelby Sweetman.
Hey, I have an 83-day streak on Duolingo.
You know what? That's probably more Spanish than I speak, so kudos to you.
Thank you. I will appropriate it as I see fit. That is my
That is your way. Right. That's your people's way. As is the way of the white woman.
So this stars Elvis.
Yes.
You know the one.
Yeah. Heard of him.
Presley. And Anne Margaret, known as the star of Bye Bye Birdie. That's how I know. Not that I've seen Bye Bye Birdie, but I do remember them talking about Bye Bye Birdie and Anne Margaret in the show Mad Men.
Ah, yes. Classic, famously. Yeah, I know Anne Margaret from Bye Bye Birdie and now this movie, but also randomly, she was in a big Hallmark movie one of the years that I worked for them.
Whoa.
Yeah, as an old lady. Yeah.
She's an old lady now? The range on this woman.
She can do anything. She's so talented.
Young lady, old lady. We're really having a great time today.
We're having so much fun. This is what This is what everyone came for.
This is truly what they came for. Just like when they went to the movies, they came to see extremely hot people in locations that are cool that yeah. they'll never get to go to. So this movie is one of many of these Elvis movies that they like cranked out. A lot of them, the acting's like not good, and the leading ladies kind of like disappear next to Elvis's charisma, you know? However, whatever happens in other movies, I don't care. This movie, it's an Elvis movie, but it's Anne Margaret's movie, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, she's so good. Mm-hmm. I was in love with her. So just amazing. And you can see Elvis, I get why he looks, like, he looks dreamy. I get it.
What? It's funny that you bring that up, because I had this thought while watching this movie last night, where I was looking at Elvis's face, mm-hmm. and then I was comparing it mentally to what our, like, leading actor, like, hot Hollywood men mm-hmm. look like. And, like, it is so telling. I know that this probably didn't feel that way back in 1964, but, like, Elvis has a lot of asymmetry in his face. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, the actors in, like, Hollywood in general today, it's all about, like, the plastic surgery to have, like, the perfectly symmetrical whatever, like, you know, perfect face, no flaws. Whereas mm-hmm. Elvis was just, he was just, like, an extremely hot dude, but he was also, like, kind of just also a
some
person.
Guy.
Yeah, just
if
some
he
guy.
Didn't, right. If he had brown hair and brown eyes instead of black hair and blue eyes, he would look like a bully. Just like some bully. like, a bully you went to high school with, you know?
Yeah, the hot guy who peaked in high school.
Right, right. And he's balding now.
Yeah,
he's balding now. And he's, like, 24, you know? Yeah. It's genetic. He can't help it. But it's like, true. You know, he doesn't want to wear a baseball cap mm-hmm, anyway.
Mm-hmm. So all this to say, I think Elvis looks average. Yeah, said it.
Well, they light him real well. The whole thing about these movies is that, they're just supposed to look good. I was reading something about this movie. They didn't have like a script. They were just like, make an Elvis Vegas movie. Like, so I'm going to take us through this plot. I did write it out. I do know what happens in this movie and for the most part, why. Mm-hmm. But none of that really matters.
It doesn't matter.
It's not really about it. They didn't know that going in. They just kind of put it together based on let's shoot Elvis and Anne Margaret singing songs and being hot. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It worked.
This they did it.
It was a spectacle. There was one point where I like cheered. Like it was so good. I was cheering. So when we start out, we've got Elvis. He's playing Lucky Jackson or something.
Mm-hmm. Lucky Jackson, famous race car driver.
He's a race car driver, and there's going to be some kind of Grand Prix in Las Vegas, the first of its kind. He really needs to get in, but he doesn't have the engine he needs for his car, but he just won a bunch of money in Vegas to get the money. He has to go to Los Angeles to get this engine, and then he'll be able to enter this race, right? Mm-hmm. He also meets a rival race car driver. This guy, he's, I don't know, Italian?
I believe
he's a count. And he is like, hey, Elvis, or sorry, Lucky, I'll pay you to race for me. So, like, the count is going to race in the race, and he wanted to pay Elvis to, like, block for him, basically, and, like, drive support. And Elvis is like, no, I want to win the freaking race. So
Race car drivers want to win.
Right. But if he doesn't have an engine, how's he going to do that? And this is all happening the very first. I think they just were like, we got to figure out some idea. Yeah. Let's all get this in a scene together.
Do you know what's funny, too, is that when this was shaken out while I was watching it last night, I was like, wouldn't you get the engine first?
Wow. What a great question.
I'm like, don't you kind of need an engine at all? Like, wouldn't it matter more that you had the engine versus like the fact that the car was a certain color or like whatever else you spent fucking money on?
Lucky Jackson is not a forward thinking person.
You're so right. I forgot who you were dealing with.
He probably entered this race with like no car set up and just, you know, he's last minute gotten the money for this engine, right?
It would never work between us is all I have to say. I can't ever date someone like that.
God. There's something that happens later that I'm like,
oh yeah.
I mean, it's coming up, but you'll see. So he's working on a car. He also, I don't know, he's not this mechanic, but he has a little buddy. I do not remember this little buddy's name. I'm going to call him Little Buddy throughout the whole movie. Mm-hmm. This is Lucky's little buddy. And they're working on a car, and then, like, a pair of legs comes in. It's shot really well. It's Anne Margaret. You can just see underneath the car, like, her mm-hmm. bare legs because she's wearing these cute little shorts. I was watching this movie with my boyfriend, and I was talking to him about something, and he had to stop me and be like, Shelby, I'm so sorry. Hold on. There are legs on the screen.
Listen, legs will get you very far in life, I've learned in my 33 years. Yes, I am 33.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, but I love that shot when it happened. I was like, this is cinema.
Exactly. This is what it's all about. I mean, this whole thing is shot so, like, the colors are just, they look great in a way that colors don't look in movies anymore.
Yeah.
Partially because they don't shoot on film, right? And partially because it's just not the style to be that colorful.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not the style right now, which mm-hmm. is weird, and I don't like it, but
I think Barbie did a really good job of bringing color back to screen. And yeah, I agree. I think aesthetically, we've, like with most things, even with like interior design, we've gone for like grayish on everything. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, but where are the pops of color? Where are the exciting little bits? Come on, baby. Let's go.
Right. Where's the lady in white shorts and a, you know, red top or whatever she's wearing? And she's mm-hmm. got like ginger hair, which I guess is why her name is Rusty.
That was the most confusing bit of this movie. I was like, Rusty? Hmm.
Well, they did not have a script.
You're so right. I forgot again.
I'm assuming the nickname is a reference to her hair. I don't know. Anyway, she comes in and she's like, my car is making this whistling sound. I live here in Las Vegas. I just, you know, was coming home and I need to get this checked out. And Lucky and the Italian race guy, it makes it sound like it's a race, the race of Italians, my people.
Yeah.
They are talking to her like, oh, yeah, there's something. It's going to take days. You're going to have to ride into town with me, I guess. Like, why don't I give you a ride wherever you need to go? Oh, it's mm-hmm. going to take so long to fix this. Whoa. And she basically is like, oh my gosh, no, that's horrible. I just came with like a whistling sound, blah, blah, blah. She like catches on that they're trying to manipulate her and she mm-hmm. gets in her car and drives away.
Yeah, I think the count fixes it.
Okay, he just fixes it behind Lucky's back.
Yeah, because Lucky goes to like take off his little jumpsuit thing, which I really want one of those after this movie. I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. One of those just like put it.
Mechanic jumpsuit.
Yeah, they're so cute.
Yeah.
He's like trying to take that off so he can like go be, you know, put the moves on this girl. And the count just like fixes whatever it is and lets her drive away. And Lucky's like, what the heck, man? I thought we were in this together. I thought we were both manipulating this poor, young, vulnerable girl together.
Right. But no. Mm-mm. And so instead, they do something else together, which is they go to Vegas to hunt her down. Yeah. Together, these rivals, they team up to go to every show in Vegas to check all the showgirls because she had nice legs. She lives in Vegas, so she must be a showgirl.
Obviously. Duh.
And it's fantastic because we get to see the showgirls from every hotel. I was watching this like, can I go see showgirls in Vegas?
Yes.
Apparently, it's not really like that anymore.
No, but we can pretend. I also thought it was really funny that there was some like racist shit in this little bit too.
Oh my God. It was weird. Apparently some of these hotels like prided themselves on like the race of their showgirls.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Which is so weird. But yeah, I just remember watching it and being like, oh, it's when you watch movies from, you know, the 60s or earlier, sometimes you have to be like, oh, there it is. Racism. Got it. Love it. Love to see it. That's 1964 in America for you.
Right. It's just one of those colors you expect to see on screen. The color of racism.
Yeah. So they look all night. They can't find her. I think they're back at Lucky's hotel or
they're back at the hotel.
Yeah, yeah. Someone's room. And Elvis like hears the voice of an angel, a.k.a. this girl. And he looks outside and she is like a lifeguard at the pool at this Las Vegas hotel. I think it's the Flamingo.
Yeah. So, yeah, he looks out and sees that she's teaching a swim class. It's very cute. There are little toddlers like trying to dive and kids diving in the pool.
Those kids were talented. I was like, oh, did that tiny human just do a backflip off the diving?
It sure did. And did we mention this is a musical? So he, Lucky Elvis, grabs the Count's guitar, is like, can I borrow this?
Doesn't tell the Count that Rusty is there. Well, he doesn't even and have Rusty's out, name yet. We don't know Rusty's name yet.
He goes out and he starts singing to her, you know, and she's like, no. And she's singing back. Like, he's like, she's into me and she just doesn't even know it yet. And she's kind of like getting all up in his face and she's all smiley and the flirty in a way that's like, she knows it. She's just playing with you.
She likes to play with her dinner, okay?
She's playing before with she her food.
Eats it, yeah.
Exactly. So she is, what is the word? She's rejecting his advances as he's singing to her. And they're kind of dancing and doing this little thing around the pool. Eventually, she kind of tricks him and pushes him into the pool. The man goes right into the pool with the freaking Count's guitar. Can't be good for the musical instrument.
It's okay. The Count is rich. Who cares?
Oh, yeah. Who cares? Well, you know who should care? Fucking Lucky. Because when he's pushed into the pool and he climbs out, you know what he leaves behind? A giant wad of cash that he had in his pocket that he was supposed to use to buy that engine.
I don't know how you don't know that you no longer have a giant wad of cash in your pocket to pay for your engine.
If I have a giant wad of cash in my pocket, I would never forget that it's there.
My hand would be on that giant wad of cash until it got deposited safely where it needs to be. Like, I'm the kind of person that checks my pocket. Like, if my phone is in my pocket, I'm constantly, like, touching my phone. And I'm like, okay, no, it's still there. It hasn't moved. Great.
You gotta watch out. What about the pickpockets out there trying to take your phones?
Yeah, especially when you're just at your friend's house. Can't trust your friend. They could pickpocket you.
What about the invisible people who might live in their walls? You don't know if they would steal your phone.
You're so right.
Thank you.
Always stay vigilant.
Thank you.
That's our new catchphrase.
Feels
very applicable to rom-coms for some reason.
Always stay vigilant. Check for your wads of cash. Anyway, this reason alone is why I just could never with this man. Absolutely not. I don't care how much he loves racing. I don't want to see it.
I thought you were going to say racism.
I don't care how much he loves racism. And you know that's what I look for in a partner.
I always love a racist.
Well, no. I just want them to love racism.
Oh. You got me there. I fucked up. Yeah, I couldn't date him if he lost that much money. Because, like, he'd probably lose our kid if we had a kid. You know what I mean?
Right? How would you trust him with anything?
No, I wouldn't.
No. So he doesn't have this money. So he can't even pay for, like, the hotel. He has to work at the hotel. He and his little buddy now work at the hotel.
And this just proves that getting jobs back in the 60s was way easier than it is now.
It's like he just walked in and said, I work here now. And they said, okay, and gave him a uniform, which would be a great way to get a job. Like, boy,
yeah,
I know a
I
few people who could become employed instantly, you know?
Instantly. It'd be so much better for the economy. Yeah, so now he works at the hotel but this is kind of a positive because he works at that hotel and Rusty works at that hotel. Mm-hmm. He is able to like see her more and then he's also able to get it so that her day off aligns with his day off. And he's like, listen, I know you have tomorrow off, so do I. Let's go on a date, sugar.
Let's go on a date.
He didn't say that, but.
Yeah. And she's like, okay, well, let's go dancing, you know, or he suggests dancing because she's like, let's meet at the school. And he's like, well, I thought we were going dancing or something. And she's like, meet at the school if you want to go dancing. And so he's like, what the hell's going on? What's going on is her cool little jazzy dance performance, which I know is like, it's cool and like a style of dance, but it's giving the like talent show, the weird, freaky art talent show from She's All That, you know?
Yeah, the like interpretive dance.
Yeah, and then he does the thing with the hacky sack.
Yeah. Oh, I love that part. Anyway, yeah. Yes. It is. It's a little strange. And then Elvis is confused, rightfully so. And she's like, well, you said you wanted to do dancing. So look, come on, let's, you know, get up there, show him a dance. And he's like, no, that's not my thing.
Right.
And she's like, okay, well, you should at least perform a song because I promised this class that we'll never see again that you would perform. So then he does, because this is a musical, baby.
Yeah. And we get another little song and dance number. It's fun. It's a good time. She does her little dance again later. It's great. I guess she teaches dance, or I mean, we find out later. I don't think it's explained well at this time, but this is a dance that she's like preparing for a talent show.
Yes.
Anyway, because he gets up and performs a song for everyone, she is now like, okay, he's in my good graces. They go out on dates and they have a grand old little time. They're being cute and fun and flirty and adorable.
Yeah.
He even meets her dad. She lives on a boat. I mean, it's clear, the set is clearly not actually a boat,
right?
But it's a boat. Anyway, the set's really cool.
Yeah. She lives on a boat with her dad, and her dad is kind of, I don't know, her dad's kind of weird, right? Like, what was going on with the dad? I don't know if that was he was meant to be kind of weird or if he was kind of weird.
Yeah, I think he's just like a little out of it because I think he really liked Lucky and wants Rusty to be taken care of or no, yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. It was, I don't know. The dad thing didn't really make sense.
But he liked Lucky.
He likes Lucky.
Basically the point of that scene is that he likes him.
Right.
They also go at some point, go to this bar, or they're trying to see, oh, that was at the beginning when they're going around to the different showgirl shows. They go to one and there are all these Texans and they're like, oh, the showgirls aren't going to go on until we get the Texans out. So that lets Elvis sing a song about Texas to add to the soundtrack.
Is that where Elvis is from?
I don't know.
But you know what's funny, though? I did read this in the IMDb. Speaking of soundtrack, this is like the only of Elvis's movies made during this time period that didn't release a soundtrack.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that weird? Yeah. It still has never.
Maybe because all those songs were on like other things. I don't know. Who knows?
I don't know. So then they keep dating, right?
Right. And then eventually Lucky wants to show Rusty his like racing stuff. So they go to the racetrack or whatever. So he can be like, oh, this is my car that doesn't have an engine yet. Still trying to, you know, get that money for it. Mm-hmm. And she's seeing racing and the count ends up telling her, or someone, maybe it's a mechanic guy, I don't remember, ends up telling her about someone who recently died, a racer who recently died. And this sends her on a spiral like, oh, my God, Lucky could die from this. I don't know if I want to get married to someone who could die from like their hobby or like the career they're passionate about, you know, like why not do something that couldn't kill you? One of those other careers.
Yeah.
There are a lot of them. So she's like really upset and doesn't want him to enter this race and is very worried. And he loves her, but that's not
he loves
stop.
Racing.
He loves
more.
Racing. Yeah. So he's telling her the next day, he's like, first of all, the count asks her to dinner and she's like, oh no, I couldn't after, you know, this wonderful time. And then she finds out that Lucky is like, actually, I'm going to enter this talent show and win. And that's how I'm going to get the money because the hotel's having a talent show. It says something like a prize that's like $2,500, something like that. And he says that he's going to win the talent show to get the money. And she's like, I'm going to win that talent show. Are you kidding me? Like, that's what I was dancing for. And so now she's really mad and she's like, fine, I am going to go out to dinner with the count.
Yeah. Because the count also says something about how like, oh, like I would give up racing for the woman I love or some shit. Like the count is essentially trying to drive a wedge between these two for like almost the whole movie. Which like,
right.
We love a chaotic little gremlin who's just there for the plot. You know what I mean? So,
well, really. He's just like, hey, all those problems you have with Lucky, I'm the
you would
opposite
never
of that.
Have with me. Yeah.
So if that's really a problem, guess you got to decide. Mm-hmm. Like, if that's really what you want, here I am. But I think it puts her in a good position because instead of her having to choose between Lucky and nobody, you know, she's got the count there to be like, she'd have to really love Lucky to choose him.
But also, like, they just started dating.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, what makes you think you're just going to be like, I think you should stop racing? And they're going to be like, okay.
Well, I'll tell you what. They did not have a plot going into this movie.
No, listen, I know. But at some point, someone said, hey, she should get mad that he won't give up racing after three dates.
Right.
And someone else was like, genius, done. Let's do it.
Let's do it. And
no
she is mad.
Questioned
but
she's,
it. She's mad because she's, you know, she's maybe she's being a little hot-headed, you know, about it.
Yeah.
Because clearly she ends up not giving a shit about that because, like, it's not like her not wanting him to race changes anything about the movie. She goes out with the count, but they have the date at the hotel. And guess who works at the motherfucking hotel?
It's our Lucky. Boy, Elvis. I mean, Lucky.
The count lets this happen, like, lets Lucky serve them. I don't understand why he wouldn't. And Lucky is fucking it up at every turn, you know?
On purpose.
On purpose. And I don't know why the count would, like, put up with this. I guess to save face, be like, not, you know, just go with the flow. And he's like, I'm not going to. She can make her own decisions, like, about this.
Like, not be a, like, show that he's not a hothead or whatever. I'm the better choice. But then at the end, he gets kind of sleazy.
Yeah.
Which I don't love, because then they finally kick Elvis all the way out because Elvis fucks up, like, seven more things. And the count's like, get out. He, like, pours soup on him or something. I don't remember. He gets fluid on his suit. It's like a tux, actually. Like, it's very formal. Anyway, kicks Elvis out one final time. And then we can hear, kind of like off in the distance, Elvis playing a guitar and singing. It sounds like out the window. It sounds like he just immediately went back, like, down and around to serenade her. But then Rusty just goes to, like, sit down, and then the count sits right next to her. So she scoots over, and then he scoots. Like, there's this,
like,
weird.
She's moving away from him.
Right.
And it's very clear that she's uncomfortable with his attentions and is only out with him to make Lucky jealous. And even she knows it in her head, and she's like, he should get it. And it's so funny to see the difference in the way she responds to their attentions, because Lucky was also being like, you're into me, you just don't know it, you know, in a really, really flirty way. And she was responding in a way that was saying, you're right. Mm-hmm. And with the count, he's saying, like, you know, I'm really into you, I'm getting really close to you. And she's clearly saying, I'm not into that. And he's not listening to it. Yeah. So, yeah, it's gross.
There is a more, like, physical dominance and, like, presence to what the count is doing versus what Elvis kind of did at the beginning, because, like, Elvis would put himself in her vicinity, whereas, like, the count specifically in the scene is putting himself in her space. He's, like, intentionally invading her space to get close to her, whereas, like, what you said, Elvis is, like, singing this song about, like, hey, I think you're really into me, but he's not, like, it's not aggressive about it. It's just like, hey.
She would lean into it. Like, he's saying, you're into me. And she has to lean in to be like, no, I'm not.
Exactly.
So she's listening to Elvis serenading her, which the count was like, oh, it's for you, blah, blah, blah. And then he leaves. Oh, no. What happens is, like, they kick him out and the friend, like, falls. It's pretty funny. Elvis comes in the window, right? So does the count leave for some reason?
No, I think the count is still there. He just, like, keeps singing because he, like, interrupts. Because it gets to a point where the count essentially has Rusty, like, pinned to the couch.
Yeah.
And that's when Elvis kind of, like, comes in from the window with his guitar. And because of that, like, Rusty's able to, like, get out from under him and, like, separate. And then he's essentially like, come on, we're going to go to this talent show. I'm going to go and you're going to go.
Oh, right.
Let's get out of here.
It's time. Yeah. Talent show time. And boy, what a talent show it is.
Boy, what a
there
talent
was,
show.
Okay, there was a part, I don't remember what song it was in. It was like when there was swing, so it was like Elvis's song, and there's like swing dancing and stuff. And there was a swing dancing couple that did a, like she was doing a backflip and then he started doing flips and then they were taking turns doing flips and they did it for so long that I was like screaming. It was so cool.
Yeah. That's so funny. I really liked Rusty's little number because it was giving like diamonds are a girl's best friend, but like the knockoff version of it. Like,
oh my gosh.
Like the guys were like, hey, we need a number just like diamonds are a girl's best friend. Like, what can we do? Let's set it in Vegas. Elvis is there and Margaret is there. Done. But I actually liked the song. I thought it was funny.
Yeah. It was like always be pleasant and polite.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Because that's how you get stuff. I'm like,
exactly.
That, hell yeah, bitch.
Works for me.
Yeah.
So it's like really neck and neck at the talent show for the top prize. Like, it's either Lucky or Rusty. Rusty or Lucky. Who's gonna win? Because they did, like, an audience clap-o-meter, and they both, like, maxed out the levels. So they decide it's Vegas. We choose based on fate. We'll flip a coin. So they flip a coin. Lucky wins the coin toss. He gets first prize, which is
A trophy
and a 2-week honeymoon in Vegas or something, all paid. And the runner-up gets a cool pool table.
Which I'm like, you don't even know if people have space for that shit.
Right.
What the hell? This isn't The Price is Right.
So Lucky tries to trade with Rusty because he's like, I could sell that pool table maybe to get the money I need. And she's like, no. And he doesn't know what he's going to do to get the money to get this engine. But his little buddy, well, like outside of this, when they're down in the dumps, he doesn't have the girl. He doesn't have the car. He's not going to get the race. His little buddy is like, wait, I have an idea. And we don't know what it is until much later. He disappears. So now we're I guess we're later in time again. We're at the race. Lucky goes to the count and says, hey, I'll work for you. I'm not going to race for you and do what you wanted me to, but I can't race in this race. So I'll work on your car if you want. Which, why would you why would the count trust him to work on his car?
He would sabotage it. What are we even doing? Come
on. Like, even if you think, oh, he's a nice guy, he's not going to do that. Like, still, why would you want that? Why would you want to be involved like that?
Makes zero sense. But neither did 1964. So
true.
Didn't make sense. So he's like, okay, I'll fix it in your car. And then Rusty's dad shows up weirdly and he's like, hey, can I watch you fix on that car? Because I love this shit and I want to see how you do it. And he's like, oh, yeah, sure. And he just, I don't know. It's just the series of events in this section is really weird.
Yeah, because then Rusty shows up. Yeah. And she wants to work on the car.
No, she's like, hey, dad, we're supposed to go fishing. What are you doing staring at this engine of a car? Like this engine in this car. We got to go. And the dad's like, oh, hold on a second. I'm just looking at this engine, you know, like dads do. And then the little friend, which I just looked up his name. His name is Shorty.
I was right.
You were close. Yeah. Little friend shows up with the engine.
The engine. And Lucky's like, where did you get the money for this? And little friend's like, oh, you know, whatever. He lies about some. He gives some bullshit.
He's like, don't worry about it. Let's put it in the car.
Right. Yeah. He's like, why are you worried about that right now? It's like, okay, I am worried about it. They put it in the car. Of course, Elvis gets to race. The dad won't leave. Rusty doesn't want to leave without the dad. And he says, like, I think it's the friend says that he, like, took the people for a ride in the helicopter or something. Is that something they did earlier? Is Lucky?
That was part of the date, the long date.
He took her for a ride in a helicopter because I guess he was in the Air Force or something.
It's giving 50 Shades of Grey. You remember when Christian
literally said that? I was like, this is much better than 50 Shades of Grey. This is like 50 Shades Wishes. It could be like this.
Oh, yeah. This movie walked so that 50 Shades could die shriveled up in a grave.
Right.
But yeah, immediately I was like, okay, Christian, get it. That's how you woo a girl. Folks, take her in a helicopter.
Don't take me in a helicopter.
Yeah, no, me neither. But I think other
statistically,
girls would be fine.
I don't like it. I don't like the odds.
Yeah. You think I'm going to trust you to fly me in the air? No, thank you. I'm okay.
I've seen a helicopter.
I'm an earth sign, babe. My feet need to be on the ground.
I mean, I'm an air sign, but you know.
That's neither here nor there.
So they hop back in the helicopter, Rusty and I think her dad and the Count, I guess. I don't know. No, not the Count. He's racing.
Wait. Before the whole race thing happens, we do have to talk about, this is a rom-com podcast, we do have to talk about how awful Lucky is to fucking Rusty. Because I think right before they got the engine, or like maybe before the scene, they get into that fight after the talent show, right? Mm-hmm. Because essentially Rusty's like, I can't believe you're still trying to get this motor and die mm-hmm. in a car race. So she's still really pissed off about it. And so they're like, I guess they like semi-reconcile and then the motor shows up. I think that's the sequence of events. Again, the plot is very hazy.
Right.
But I think when she shows up and is like, Dad, we're supposed to go fishing. I think she has a conversation with Lucky, or like Lucky says something about like, don't be mad
at me. Oh, he's not racing. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, don't be mad. Like, I'm not racing. And she's like, okay, I guess we can date again. And then the motor shows up. And so he's like, screw JK. You, bitch. I'm going to go race in this thing. So she gets really mad. And she has one of my favorite numbers in the whole movie, which was how she sang that whole song about how, like, my man is out with some
my
other.
My rival.
Yeah, my rival. Yeah. And it's the rival is a blue racing car.
Right.
Which is so much fun because she's just doing all these little. She's like dancing around her apartment. I don't know, room, wherever she is. She's like going on different levels and like making toast with like putting ketchup on it to spell out Lucky, which was super fucking weird.
She made sandwiches with, I believe, mustard, ketchup, and cheese.
Has anybody ever eaten that?
Classic.
Right in. A classic cheese sandwich.
She takes all of this to the guys because once the engine shows up, they need to install it. And the Count is like, there's no way Lucky and your little buddy are going to install that in 12 hours.
Yeah.
And they're like, just watch us. And so she makes them sandwiches and helps out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But she's also doing it out of spite because she's mad. Yeah. So like when she brings all this stuff back to the garage, it's not just like a cute little.
Here are your sandwiches.
It's not just like a little brown bag of sandwiches. Here, Dad, you need to eat. It's like a box. It's like two boxes and then like bags in the boxes. And then she's trying to plug in a coffee machine. But all the plugs are being used for various other like electronics. So she's just like purposefully getting in the way. And Lucky is so mean to her. Like, listen, I get it, babe. You're stressed. I understand. You just got an engine. You have 12 hours to put it in. You're being put under the wire here. But don't be fucking mean to your girlfriend, because that's not okay.
Yeah, but she was like unplugging the shit he was working on to plug in a coffee maker specifically to fuck up with his stuff.
Right.
I think in this situation,
okay,
it's okay to be like, don't do that.
No, that's not the problem. The problem is that when he's trying to kick her out, he's just being really rude about it. When he knows, first of all, she's fucking obstinate. She's got to be a Taurus. I put money on the fact that this bitch is a Taurus. All he had to do was be like, baby, sweetie, honey, I know that you really want to help. Like, he just had to like coat it in sugar.
Yeah, play it, play along with it. Let her,
right. And she would leave.
Right.
But he was really, he was like, you need to get at it. Like he was like yelling at her. And I was like, sir, we did not respond to that. I'm so sorry to tell you. We will just make it worse on purpose out of spite because you're a dick.
I get that. And I'm with you and on your side.
I feel like you're about to tell me that you're not with me and not on my side.
However, if someone did that to me and I got mad about it, you know, if someone, and I was like, I'm not going to play your passive aggressive games. If you have a problem, tell me you have a problem. Don't mess with my stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
But again, you would still have approached it tactfully.
Yeah, you're right. I would have been better because I am a better person than Elvis.
We all know that. You didn't marry a 14-year-old.
Thank you. It was really difficult not to, but... Sorry.
It's so hard not to marry children, guys. Just kidding. Don't. That's not true. We only date adults here. Yeah, I was annoyed at him because he was just being a dick. First of all, you've already chosen your racing over this girl. Listen, we're taking out the fact that they've only been dating for like a week. That doesn't matter. At this point, it doesn't matter. You've already chosen racing over me, and now you're being mean to me. Like, stop. Break up with him, girl, is what I'm trying to say. And Margaret, you deserve better. And Margaret deserves better.
Sam, this
she can
is
be passive
woman.
Aggressive. I don't care. I support women's wrongs, and I think
I do too.
She did. Listen, she didn't do anything that we haven't thought about doing.
This is a woman who, days after getting involved with a guy, asked him to give up his true passion in life.
Okay, but we're not talking about the days. Okay, this is not about time. It's movie land. Time accelerates quicker because. Listen, they get married by the end of the film, okay?
I know. I just know if I fell in love with someone who had a deep passion for something, that would be part of why I loved them. I wouldn't be like, hey, choose that or
she's
me.
She's easily manipulated. It's not her fault. She's an idiot.
She's just hot and dumb, as we all wish and aspire
she's
to be.
Hot and dumb and has great legs. And that's all she needs to survive. But yeah, so anyway... He yells at her, but she stays and helps, I guess, still. And they get the engine into the car. They have a little issue trying to start it at, like, the starting time. But then they figure it out. And Elvis gets in his little car.
And he's off.
He's in the race.
He's in the race. They're racing through some areas we saw earlier. So all around Las Vegas, you know, what's now Fremont Street and, like, the Red Rock Canyon stuff and like the Hoover Dam, like stuff we saw while they were flying around in the helicopter. It was nice because she was pointing out stuff like she was teaching us about the area, which is such a cool thing to put in a movie because this was, you know, the time where most people weren't going to go to Las Vegas. They were never going to go see it.
That's true.
So he does his little race. It's, you know, neck and neck. At the end.
Neck and neck. He's trying to beat the Italian man.
He's trying to beat the Italian
man. And the Italian man loses a shoe. I mean, a tire.
There are such bad wrecks in this race that it's like, oh my God, no wonder she doesn't want him doing this. Like, multiple people died during this race.
100, including the count, I feel. We don't see him again. Like, the movie essentially ends after this, too. But he gets in a pretty bad fucking wreck. Meanwhile, kind of like what you mentioned earlier, Rusty and her dad and Shorty are in the helicopter. Flying essentially above the whole race, keeping track of it and what's going on.
There's just reaction shots of Anne Margaret like covering her eyes and going, oh no, ah, I can't watch.
Oh no, it's so hard to watch. I'm scared. So then, guys, who do you think won the race?
Right. I thought, I was like, are we going to get a cars here where the count, like, he helps the count cross the finish line at the end because he lost
I love that you called
race.
It get a cars. Are going to get a cars here?
Are we going to get a cars scenario? Are we going to do a cars?
Life is a highway, so.
Like, what's going to happen? And also, I recently rewatched The Phantom Menace, so I keep getting this sequence confused with Anakin's pod racing sequence. I'm like, it looks like Sebulba's gonna win. But then at the end, no, he makes it through. He wins. There's no surprises. There's no, like, he doubles back to help someone else. It's just straight up, he wins. Mm-hmm. And Rusty is over all of her problems, I guess, because he won.
She's like, wow, he's really good at driving. I don't have to worry.
Right. If he didn't die in that race, then he's not gonna die in other races.
Yeah.
So they get married.
So they get married, and that's essentially the end.
And that's the end of the movie.
Of the movie. I am curious, though, because was it James Dean that died in the car crash?
Yeah, or motorcycle thing.
Was it? I thought it was a car crash because I thought the car that was Elvis's car, you see it at the beginning, like during the kind of like Vegas montage, you see it being like towed in or whatever. And my first thought when I saw that was, isn't that the James Dean car? And so I was like... That's the only thing that I was like, oh, maybe he will die in this race.
He would die in it. In this nice little musical comedy movie.
Yeah.
I also, they revealed in the helicopter, the little buddy accidentally revealed that Rusty's dad actually funded the money for the engine. The little buddy's bright idea when he said, I have an idea, was to go to Rusty's dad. Somehow he knew that would work. Anyway.
See, look at
it. Worked. Gonna,
this is the James Dean car. It's a Porsche Spyder. I don't believe it's the same car, but it looks similar enough.
Oh, yeah, it's a little, because it's silver, it's got a little bubbly headlight things.
Yeah. So that's why I thought he was going to die. Obviously not. It's a musical comedy. But intrusive thoughts, man. They come in all the time. So, yeah, they get married. And
then they get married. Happily ever after.
We've heard the song Viva Las Vegas at this point at least 7 times throughout the film. In any iteration you can think of is in this movie. And I just love how this one song became like the unofficial theme song of an entire city.
Yeah, that's Las Vegas's song now forever.
Yeah.
Viva Las Vegas. And you know what? It's a good song. I loved all the song and dance sequences. There was this one set they had that they used a lot of times where the stage was a big like roulette circle and they were dancing around it. It was so cool. Yeah. It looked great. I loved the like these big sound, you know, musical number things that are just like, hey, look at this cool spectacle that makes you happy. People love to watch people dance and sing.
That's true. There was also a moment, too, when I think it was when Elvis was singing to Anne Margaret in the hotel suite that they were like singing at each other, or maybe it was just the beginning. I don't remember. Time is a flat circle. But to me, I was like, oh my God, they're giving Troy and Gabriella energy. And they were. It felt like High School Musical for like that 5 minutes song and dance sequel. It was the way that she was like reacting to his flirting. I'm like,
yeah.
That's a Gabriella Montez right there.
Maybe Vanessa and Zach watched this movie.
I hope so. As inspiration. I would genuinely hope so. This has nothing to do with the movie, but this is a side note. Zac Efron. Wow. What an incredible actor he's turned into. Because I just watched Iron Claw on the plane home. Bad mistake. Uh-huh. That was a huge mistake. I was crying a lot. It was ugly. But he was so good in that film. So he went from being our generation's little like Elvis boy to being an actual good actor.
It turns out if you put work into stuff, you can get good at it, even if you don't start out as like good at stuff. You know, people grow.
Yeah,
I would hope so. God, imagine if you stayed as bad at something throughout your life as you were at it as a teen.
I think I am still bad at a lot of stuff that I was bad at when I was a teen. So, whoops.
Yeah, but something you like and do a lot.
Oh, no. But other stuff that I feel like I would like, but can't seem to get good at, so I stop. Yeah, he was great. Elvis was great. Anna Margaret was great.
Yeah.
The whole cast was great. They all did a good job.
I guess in the end, Rusty decided it was more important to be with this man she loved than to be with someone who couldn't die from racing. Or I guess it's like you said, she decided he was such a good racer that he wasn't going to die from it. Because, like, otherwise, I don't want to really understand why she changed her mind. The conflict didn't seem to bother her that much.
Do you know what I think? This is my genuine opinion. She got back together with Lucky because she was on an adrenaline high. She was like, wow, that was so exciting. Marry me immediately. And he said yes, and they got married.
Wow. Yeah, and I guess the adrenaline high never left because they made it to the chapel.
Yeah, but that was like the next day. It's Vegas. You get married quickly there.
True.
And it never wore off.
Thankfully, this was a Vegas movie that took place pretty much entirely in Vegas, which we cannot say about the other ones we've done so far.
Yeah, I think I've learned more about Vegas from this film. I didn't know that that dam was there. I didn't know that it was in Nevada.
I didn't know the Hoover Dam was near Vegas. No, I didn't know it was.
I was going to call it the Hoosier Dam. So that's why I only called it the dam, because I was waiting for you to call it what it actually is. The Hoover Dam.
The Hoosier Dam.
Listen, I'm just a girl and I'm confused 99% of the time. But yeah, I had no idea that the Hoover Dam was in Vegas or near Vegas, I guess.
Neither did I. Honestly,
I didn't know there was water there.
Honestly, I'm still a little confused about it. I thought that I was like, wow, they went really far in that helicopter.
Yeah. Do you know what else I learned from the trivia? That, you know, this movie features a lot of big Vegas hotels, right?
Yeah.
From the 60s. Only six are currently still in operation. Mm-hmm. Crazy.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Vegas is just, it's so different now.
Yeah.
You don't have showgirls.
I know.
They do have Shania Twain. I know.
They have drag brunch. You could go to drag brunch.
Well, I could go to drag brunch anywhere.
No, I know. But if you just want that show element while you're in Vegas. Yeah,
that's true. That's
an option. They do have Shania Twain. They had Celine Dion for a while.
Dijon. Gaga will be back there.
Gaga's coming.
Gaga. Everyone. Gaga's coming.
Gaga's coming. Yeah, they got a lot of, they got Pauly D doing some, doing some day parties.
Oh, DJing some day. Oh, wow. Day,
yeah. What can't you get in Vegas is essentially what I'm saying. They got it all, except showgirls, but everything else, they got it.
Well, you know what we got, Sam, is social media. Find it where you social media. Yeah. At the Rom Complex. That's on TikTok, Instagram, those places.
Yeah, all those places. I'm still currently looking for a new job. So if you want to, I've told people I work with that I have a podcast. I should not be saying that live on air. It's just a joke. This is a comedy. I'm bringing it back from earlier in the episode. Yeah, email me your open positions, theromcomplex@gmail.com.
If you want to help support us and you want to get some bonus content in return, wow, getting something for your altruism? Yeah. Come on over to the Patreon and subscribe. Patreon.com/theromcomplex. We have tons of bonus content. We post at least twice a week, and we are adding in some new stuff, which I'm going to talk to Sam about after this episode. If you are a $10 patron, we'll even shout you out here on every episode. So let's get those in order. We are shouting out Alex AWOL, DarlingHomebody.com, that's Nicole J, HPG, JTrain, Choo Choo, I don't know why I said it that way that time, and Catherine W. We love you guys.
Thanks, everybody. We love you. And next week, we're coming back to Vegas, so make sure you subscribe to us on Apple, Stitcher, wherever the hell you're listening to this. Subscribe there, too. Anyway, remember to keep falling in love
with yourselves. Bye. Bye.